It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh my God, it's Thursday.
How about that? This week is flying by, isn't it?
No cuss words, no sexual innuendos, just sports talk radio.
Isn't that sports talk radio, though? Curse words and sexual innuendos?
Man, I wish. We had a conversation last night. We should be able to cuss.
Yeah. Well, we could, but then somebody complains.
F that, dude. Yeah.
I told you last night, I said, I wouldn't cuss all the time if we could cuss, but there are certain moments where it just kind of requires you to drop an F-bomb.
Mac does it either way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Mac gets away with it, right?
Like, how can we not do what, like, Pat McAfee does, where it's like, this show contains explicit content.
Right.
Please be advised.
Because that is not governed by the federal government and the FCC. We are. So there we sit, right?
Yeah. Rough day yesterday. Vin Mazzaro's start, as as we were told by our fellow listeners.
How you doing, Momo? You good? You had the beer last night?
Oh, my God.
We got not a thing.
We got 76 seconds in before you got called that.
Couldn't do it. It's my mother's grandma name, so I will not be called that.
It's your mother's. You got grandkids, good for you.
Yeah, niece and a nephew, absolutely.
Not yours.
Yeah, not mine.
Oh, not yours. Mine. Not yours. Okay, ooh, not yours. But
niece and nephew. I thought you were getting ready to cuss again.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Oh, what a day.
I'm ready for this game now already.
Ooh, like, I know,
my
right?
voice is getting back. I'm kind of excited about this.
Are you there yet?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I flipped the page already. I started reading some stuff today, and I listened to some Buffalo player who claims he never takes an elevator on game day because he doesn't want assistance from anybody.
Well, he's the same guy that doesn't. You haven't seen this guy's background story?
No.
He's the same guy that doesn't use utensils to eat, doesn't wear shoes or socks.
Oh, this is Matt Collins?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Considers socks food prisons.
Yes.
Food prison?
That's a Family Guy line, but he does consider his shoes to be like I don't know,
feet prisons.
Yeah. Okay, feet prisons. All right.
I think that's who that was. Is it about the elevator? Which totally dig it. I don't know,
but I'm not walking up 30 flights at a hotel to get to my room. Yeah, I mean, that's
I'll take
stupid.
That assistance.
Yeah. Matt Collins is exactly who it was. Yep. Yeah. So he goes to the hotel wherever they stay here.
Yeah, that's a bit egregious. Of 30 floors.
Like, but honestly, like, look at the Westin. It's like 17 or 18 floors. You're walking up those stairs.
I'd walk them if Tammy was with me.
Well, that's true. She'd lead you up the stairs, right?
I don't know. But I might be carrying her ass.
I mean, like 17 floors going, like, that's just dumb. Doesn't make any sense.
What's the maximum level of stairs that you're like, I'm taking the elevator?
2.
No, it's
no,
not.
I don't know. It just depends.
Because I'll tell you what, those stairs at Kauffman Stadium, man, they get you.
Yeah,
and it's like 5 stories.
I always take the stairs there because waiting for the elevator is, you know, and I'm talking about if I ever go out there and work or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I'm one of these people, and this is kind of part of the reason why I don't like flying. And I think everybody's kind of like this. You like to control your own, right? Like, you like to control when you're going to get there, what you're going to do, waiting for the elevator or take the stairs, get a little exercise in and get out before the elevator even gets down. I'm all on board for that. So, I'll take the stairs, but I'm not taking the stairs at a hotel. If they give you, sir, you're on floor 17.
Coming up the stairs and going down the stairs and coming up the stairs.
Yeah, I go down the stairs, not going up the stairs.
I'll tell you what, these stairs in this damn building
get
your thighs
suck.
And shit,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah, they're hard too.
try to exercise every day. It's like
I got up this morning at 3:10 and ran 2 miles.
Sweet, dude.
What a flex.
Must
cool.
be nice. How's your basement in Johnson County?
The treadmill sucks. I stole it from my neighbor when they were moving. They like set it out by the curb. I'm like, I'll take that.
God. I woke up this morning at 3:10 and ran 2 miles.
Oh, I challenged
and
myself.
And then after the show, I'm going to run another 2.
I'm not. Nah, I got a lot going on today. Big day. We got a show dinner tonight. We're going to celebrate our friend Jerry and Selmo and the BMA Foundation at Jasper's today.
We're going to have Momo and Somo.
Yeah, we are. Momo, does Momo want to come? Or
Momo's
not coming.
No. New friend on Facebook. Yeah. How you doing?
I got to get back.
She already slid into my DMs.
Oh,
too.
Did she?
Yeah,
really?
She said, "Take care of my son." I said, "Oh,
okay."
No, I'm kidding. That didn't happen.
Slide. And is her friend on that book? Because I'd like to get on there if that's the case.
Yeah, Bobsley might get back on Facebook now.
I mean, Max mom's probably searching for me and looking for me. And absolutely, like, I just can't find this guy. He just doesn't exist.
For those of you that are wondering what the hell we're talking about, now Mrs. Morey asked to be my friend last night on Facebook.
Did you accept?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If I've met you and I know you, I'll more than likely accept you.
Okay, good.
I would have been offended if you didn't accept.
Well, delete. Declined.
Your co-host declined my friendship. Matt, can you please talk to him tomorrow?
Exactly. Yeah, please tell him why he's not my friend. What, does he not like Momo?
No. So Sunday is, I don't get there really with these games until Friday. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I'm weird. It also makes the week go by a little bit faster in my mind. But
sure.
I ask you this question, Mr. Fesco.
Yep.
Is this game more about Buffalo and Kansas City or Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes?
I think it's about Buffalo and Kansas City at this point because these are the two teams that are the two best teams in the AFC. Yep. And people are going to make snap judgments based on this game, and they're going to make snap judgments based on the result of this game. And
but why are they the two best teams in the AFC?
Because they have the two best quarterbacks probably in the AFC. But, I mean, until Josh Allen does it when it matters most, mm-hmm. he's kind of in that Lamar Jackson category for me, right? Like, I know he's had some postseason wins, but he hasn't had the postseason wins that he needs to have. Like, we give, you know, Lamar Jackson a lot of shade for not winning in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's very evident. Josh Allen doesn't win in the playoffs either. So until he starts winning in the playoffs, it becomes more about, for me, these two teams and continuing this undefeated stretch. Now, if this wasn't an undefeated team going in there, I may say it's a nice matchup between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But I think this game has the buzz that it has because the Chiefs are undefeated. I think CBS is doing College Game Day there live because it's the Chiefs are undefeated. I think they're the only 3:25 game because the Chiefs are undefeated at this point in the season. So I think the 9-0 now is starting to have a bigger impact than anything else that is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think I'd have the opposite discussion too, that I think that this game is more about Mahomes and Josh Allen. I think that obviously there's no, it's not hard to discover that the NFL is ran by quarterback play. Like right. The better the quarterback, the better the matchup. Like tonight, we're watching the Commanders in Philadelphia.
Right.
Eagles,
good quarterbacks,
right?
Yeah.
Two good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Two good teams. But we're not sitting here going, man, Saquon Barkley and Brian Robinson Jr. or, you know, Terry McLaurin versus Devonta Smith or A.J. Brown and, you know, name a guy.
Right.
I'm watching it because it's Jaden Daniels and it's Jalen Hurts. Yeah, and it's a divisional game on a Thursday night, which is actually back-to-back Thursday nights where it's good football. Whereas Sunday, it's like, and you'll see it all throughout Friday. You'll see it all throughout Sunday. The narrative of this game will be it's Allen and Mahomes part 6.
Sure.
You know, it's not really Buffalo. Like, name 5 players for Buffalo.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Milano and somebody.
You probably can't. And if you're in Buffalo, you'd be like, name 5 players for the Chiefs. You'd be like, Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones, Kareem Hunt.
Probably
you'd be like
Butker.
Yeah. Well, you know? Yeah. And I mean, but I mean, you think about it, like, it wouldn't just be a boom, 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 boom. You've got these players down. But when you watch this game, it's like last year, the regular season game, it was the play that wasn't, right? There was a minute 23 left, Kelsey over the middle, hitch back to Kadarius Toney, touchdown, offsides.
Mm-hmm.
Minute 25 left, Mahomes loses his mind, game's over.
Right.
Playoff game, Mahomes has the ball last, wins the game, snowballs get thrown at a guy from grown men in Buffalo.
Right.
And now we have it again, and it's like, who's going to get the advantage? And like we talked to Capaccio yesterday, and he was like, this is a lose-lose situation or a non-win for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
If they beat Kansas City, they say, well, we did it again in the regular season, but it still doesn't matter. If they lose, it's like, well,
still can't beat Mahomes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It has to happen in the playoffs for the Buffalo Bills. Like, you know, like I think there's more riding on this game for the Chiefs this weekend than there is for Buffalo. I don't think this is – it is a big game for Buffalo, but it's not a big game like it is for the Chiefs, because now we're getting on that cusp of history. And every game that goes by, every game that passes where they continue to win – now the undefeated stuff starts to, you know, to be part of that conversation. And so that's why I think it's big. Had the Chiefs come into this game 8-1 or something like that, I go, yeah, it's a good Mahomes, you know, battle versus Josh Allen. But this is all about the team for me right now and maintaining that goal of running the table and going undefeated.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think quite honestly, they're winning games not because of Patrick Mahomes this year. They're winning games because of the defense, because of the running game. I saw something yesterday that the Chiefs lead the NFL in like the amount of like long drives that they have. They're not getting the quick hitters anymore. It's more of a running game. It's more of the short passing game. They're winning games in different ways. And I think 2018, 2019, 2020 was more about Patrick Mahomes, but this team right now is winning games because they are a solid team. And so I think that takes the pressure a little bit off of Patrick Mahomes. If Mahomes has a bad day, the Chiefs can still win. If Josh Allen has a bad day, Buffalo can't win.
That's interesting, because I think there's a lot of truth to that. I also think that, I mean, there's other reasons too, but it's also one of those games where, like, I think we watch these games wondering, like, which quarterback's going to have their moment, right? Like, the winner of this game is likely the number one seed. And I know the Chiefs can lose this game, and they're only, like, a half game, like, they have a half game lead over Buffalo, and Buffalo still has a bye, obviously. But, like, this is, again, one of those games where, like, chalk it up as another year, same type of thing. Winner of this game controls their destiny moving forward. It just so happens it's week 10 this year, not week 14 or, you know, 15. And the other thing that's even more important is that if the Chiefs win this game, they're more than likely going to be favored to go undefeated the rest of the year. This
Buffalo has two losses, right?
They have two.
So they would still have to have the Chiefs lose another game
to
be able to control their own destiny. So regardless of the outcome of this game for Kansas City, they're still the one seed in all
of
this.
And they'd have Houston, Pittsburgh left on their schedule with a bunch of padded, softer games in there. Denver again, Carolina.
Is Denver really a soft game now, though? I mean, like...
Well, it's week 18.
Yeah.
So, like, at that point, Denver may not be playing for you, or they're playing
Or they're playing for a lot in week 18.
But that's what's crazy, is, like, you lock up this game against Buffalo, you are the one seed. There is no way that you lose the one. You'd have to literally have a catastrophic failure of a season.
You have to lose, like, four games, essentially, to lose that
six.
One. Yeah.
And those four games, you have Carolina on the schedule.
Right.
Houston, Pittsburgh, L.A., Vegas, and Denver.
That's right. Three division games, Carolina and Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And two of those division games are, one of those division games is at home.
We got the Chargers at home on a Sunday
and
night
Vegas
and Vegas at home on Black Friday.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And Carolina.
Carolina. No, do we go to Carolina? I think we go to Carolina.
Yeah, it's a noon game. It's one of those random, baby, noon game.
I like it. Yeah.
Next week at noon. So I don't know. I just think that this is one of those things where you have two of the top three MVP candidates right now, according to Vegas, not according to fandom or anything else. It is Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. And then you have the two best teams in the AFC. It is the game of the year. It is the, as we call it, the in-season Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely is. There's no doubt. Yeah.
Did you know they call it the NBA Cup now, not the in-season tournament?
Yeah, the NBA Cup. What do you think of the courts that we're dealing with?
I love
them. I do, too. I love them. I think it's fun. I like it. It's fun. It's different. It's unique. I like stuff like that. I like the blue turf in Boise. Like, I've heard some of these hardos complaining about the courts. And I'm like, why? Who cares? It's fun. It's different.
I think it's fun besides just like when they get, like, the color saturation, whatever. I don't know the right camera terms. But, like, the blue court the other night, like, I legitimately, like, it was hard to watch the game just because they didn't have the saturation ride or whatever.
Do the shoes still squeak?
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
As long as the shoes are squeaking and the swoosh is swooshing and the iron's ironing.
That's a sound of sports that I love to hear. It's like the crack of a bat, the golf ball in a cup, a shoe squeaking, a net swish, like the swish sound.
Swish of a net, yeah.
Oh, man.
Is there a football sound, like a big crack over the middle or something like that?
I love hearing the ball hit the goalpost. Everybody knows if you missed it or not. It's like,
it is really loud when it hits the goalpost.
Oh, yeah.
They got those mics right there. Oh, yeah. It reverberates.
Yeah.
Or you can hear the Dak Prescott. Here we go.
Apparently, that's just not Dak Prescott anymore.
Cooper Rush did it last week.
Yeah.
That's right. Scariness. I'll explain why the Chiefs could get really, really scary on the other side. You're listening to Fesco, Dusty, and Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back in on a Thursday, 96.5 The Fan, Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. You can catch all of us on the air on the FM dial, or you can go to YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X, and you can watch all of our beautiful faces. It is Hoodie Thursday on our Instagram account, so 96.5 The Fam on Instagram.
Max got a hoodie he got from his fiance. It looks very nice.
Floral, very nice. Sleeves. I know.
See in the major leagues is yours. That's a right. good foundation. And then yep. I'm wearing Coach Prime so I can get all the hate. Embrace the hate, they say.
What is that hoodie you're wearing, Mac?
I told you it's from his fiance. It's a floral hoodie.
It's just a gray hoodie. It's got some flowers in the arm sleeves.
Is that hers?
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah.
I was a jerk this morning. He came in the little studio and said, nice hoodie. Did your mom buy it for you? Hey, man, I think it's nice. My fiance got it for me. And I was like,
are you too manly to wear flowers?
No,
not at all. I wear a lot of pink.
You got to see my swim trunks, dude. Look like I go watch like White Tigers in Vegas. It's wild, man. I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited for Friday. I love Friday shows. Today, obviously, we'll have Ben Maller. We get to get his reaction to what it was like at Arrowhead for his first time. Nate Taylor, by the way, I don't know if you saw this. It's not Nate Taylor expecting child number two.
Oh, congratulations. Woo! Great. That's awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like having your second, Ryan. It's awesome. You forget everything you learned about your first. You just let them wallow around. Oh, the first one, you say, oh, and the second one, get up.
Is that why everybody like thinks that child one's the favorite?
I think people sometimes think child two is the favorite. I don't know. It just depends how they behave.
Because two is considered the baby?
Well, the baby, and yeah. They don't get as much like attention. Not attention. That's the wrong word. Like a child one falls, everybody goes, and that's the worst thing you could do when a child falls. Do not make a sound because they're not crying because they fell. They're crying because of the way you react to them, right? And then child number two, you just realize, hey, get up. You can take care of it yourself.
So you're saying alone. If your kid falls, just start laughing.
Just pick them back up and just let them go. Don't go, oh my God, because when you go, oh my God, they look at you and then they start crying. It happens every single time.
It's like, oh, I need to freak out too. Yeah,
no, you, yeah, exactly. Parent freaks out. The kid's going, ah!
I know we don't do shout it out from the 816, but can I get a congratulations for my wife, the head coach of the KCK Community College volleyball team, qualifying for the national tournament next week in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Shout out to your wife, the head volleyball coach.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Way to go.
Go
win
get
a championship.
Em. Go get them. Knock them stiff. I think that's what you say.
Did you know you can kick the ball in volleyball?
That's not true.
Yes, it is. I was watching a highlight of it the other day, and somebody dove down, kicked it up with their foot, like it hit the back of their foot and bounced back up, and they're stunned as you were.
Erroneous.
No, it was 100% true. Counts. Yeah, check it out. You can actually kick the ball in volleyball. If it hits your foot, you're good to go.
Google search that, because I don't believe you. Can kick a volleyball? There's no way that's a rule.
You know how hard it is to do that? It was an accidental type of, like, she wasn't doing it on purpose, but it hit the back of her foot. I figured they'd call the game. Mm. They kept on playing. They won the point.
Yeah. Bob's not BS, and he's right. I looked it up because I thought that was like, nah, that's true.
You can kick the volleyball.
As long as you follow the rules, you can legally contact the ball with any part of your body, including your foot.
How about that? I was yesterday years old when
You could head it, like in soccer, you could like head the volleyball if you wanted to?
Yeah.
But who wants to do that? Like, you don't have really as much control, obviously.
Can you imagine Leo Chenal as a volleyball player? That guy's arrived, man. I'll tell you what.
Hey, he got special teams player of the week. Was anybody...
Four tackles and a blocked field goal. I mean,
you got to give him that, you know, got to give him that award.
Had a line out the door at Hy-Vee.
It was crazy, right?
And then did the 10 questions on the Chiefs Instagram page and Facebook page. Like, that dude.
He's enjoying it, man, and he should,
man. All it takes is one blocked field goal, and you can become a superstar.
That's exactly right.
Just got to make it to the league first.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. Speaking of the league and the Chiefs, it's about to get scary for the NFL with the Chiefs. And I want to explain this because we didn't really mention it yesterday because I don't really think it has a whole lot of conversational value. But obviously, Pacheco and Omenihue have been taken off the IR. And, of course, the first person to ask, are they going to play this week, Andy?
Yeah.
The reason why is because they don't want to have to be on IR for the entire rest of the season and miss the season. So they get that 21-day window where they can practice, right? So probably not coming back this week. I could see next week maybe Kareem Hunt getting the day and letting Isaiah Pacheco ease his way in against Carolina.
Yeah, but the minute you start taking somebody lightly, that's when you lose those games, you know?
Yeah, but come on. I mean, really. But I could see that. And again, I don't think that's taking them lightly. I think that's just putting the younger version of Kareem Hunt out there, giving Kareem Hunt. And I go back to what the Saints did a couple years ago when Mark Ingram was suspended, and they let Alvin Kamara take the day off on a Monday night game and let Mark Ingram take almost every... I mean, I think Kamara had like three carries, and Mark Ingram had like 15 to 18. He didn't have the day off, but it was like you had the day off.
Sure.
And the Chiefs will get back Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco and Chuck Omenihue.
Right.
Right. They get both of those guys, right?
And Juju Smith-Schuster's back too.
It looks like he's going to play this week.
Yeah.
So what's scary about that is that, and again, I'm not overlooking Buffalo, but they're getting healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Their schedule's getting easier. And they're already 9-0.
Right.
So I know a lot of people want to nitpick how the Chiefs have gotten to 9-0 and how they want to, you know, well, they're lucky or they're the refs are on their side or whatever those narratives are. But when you think about the Chiefs now, you're going to have Juju Smith-Schuster come back. You're going to have Isaiah Pacheco come back. You're going to add help to your defensive line, which is damn good. And I know the Hollywood Brown things of it's way, way back in the corner.
That's a pipe dream right now, right?
But you're getting your running game, which has been one of your focal points that's keeping you the ball on third down. And your defensive line, which is really, really good, is going to get stronger. We remember when O'Minihue came back last year after the six-game suspension. It was like, oh, wow, now look at Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're 9-0 and their schedule gets easier and their roster gets fuller, that's a scary thing for the rest of the NFL.
Well, it has to be. And I think Charles Omenihu is the most important one to bring him back because I think you make a strength stronger, right? Mm-hmm. That defensive line is arguably the strength of this football team. Yeah. And now it just got even stronger. Now you've got the rotation. You got, you know, Josh Uche in the mix as well, who hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot since he's been here.
Was he at the game on Sunday?
I don't know if he was there or not. I think they...
I was looking for it. I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything.
I understand. Yeah, like, but you've got that rotational player going right now. And Charles Omenihu was big last year for this team when he came back into the lineup. So I'm excited about getting him back. I think he's going to be really good, you know, for this organization. I think that just makes the defensive line that much better. And then, of course, you add in Isaiah Pacheco, and now you can give a little relief to Kareem Hunt because, as you can see, he has, you know, last game he wasn't that great, you know, slowed down a little bit in the last game. Mm-hmm. That's why you need 2 to 3 good running backs on your team that can carry the workload. I know fantasy owners want to probably, you know, criticize all of that and whatnot because they want their guy to do it, but this isn't a fantasy world in which we live. And if you can have 2 running backs that can split the time evenly, you're a much better football team than you are if you just have 1 running back to rely on. Because when you had 1 running back to rely on, he got hurt, you had to go on the streets and get Kareem Hunt. Now you've got 2 that you can rely on, and I think Andy's probably in a much happier place knowing that he's got option A and option B for this football team right now.
This is a quick question with a quick response for you and Mac. What's the stronger part of the Chiefs when Isaiah Pacheco's back and O'Minihue's back? Their D-line or their running back game?
Oh, their D-line. I think their D-line much stronger. Yeah, you got Hall of Famer Chris Jones out there, and to me, that tips it in the favor of the D-line. You got Karlaftis, who's really, really good. I like Derek Nnadi. Turk Wharton's a really good football player. He's got to get healthier. But you start to look around the ends. Charles Omenihu, defensive line for me, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, they run like 10 deep. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
No, like starting worthy caliber players.
Is it an underappreciated value that the Chiefs have? Because I know the D-line doesn't move the needle. Like, you don't go to a football team like, man, tell you what, this D-line. Normally you're like, I'll tell you what, these receivers, these tight end,
quarterback. Well, we become such an offensive-minded, you know, fan base anymore, we always look offense first, you know?
Yeah.
But defense, I mean, yeah, you have to look at the defense right now and go, this is the strength of the team. They're winning games because of their defense right now.
I also think outside of Kansas City, people don't know anyone on the Chiefs defensive line besides Chris Jones, maybe George Karlaftis. Aren't household names. Exactly, probably not. These aren't household names. I mean, look at the Giants, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, right off the bat. You're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby. You're like, oh my gosh. But Chiefs run 8 deep, and these guys are all more than competent, above-average football players.
I mean, look at the names. Karlaftis, Wharton, Jones, and Dana. Like, that's a hell of a front 4.
So good.
I mean, and then you've got, you know, Mike Pinnell, who's really good, Derek Nnadi, who's really good. And we didn't even mention Felix, and he's having himself a nice little season
I didn't know he was as fast as he is. Like, when I was watching that Denver game, he closed down on somebody on the sideline. Yeah. He was the only guy there, and I was like, damn, that's FAU.
Yeah, right. but you don't notice that, right?
No.
But you don't notice it's FAU. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot about him. But no, he's making some nice plays this year as well. And then obviously you're going to add back Omenihu and, you know,
and
you got
Uche, new Uche
as well. So yeah, you're right. They do run about 10 deep on that defensive line.
And then you go to the other side of the question, which is the running back play, and where the Chiefs have been so good is time of possession and third down. They're number 1 on offense and third down conversion. I think Buffalo's number 1 on defense with stopping people on third down. So rock meets rock
in
this matchup, another, you know, cancel out. And, I mean, man, I'm really excited. I don't know why. I'm really excited to see Hunt and Pacheco in the same backfield.
Because I am, too.
Then you sprinkle in a little Carson Steele, and you talk about an 8 to 10-man rotation on the defensive line. You have a 3-man rotation in your backfield that can just absolutely bulldoze and bruise.
And that's what they are. They're all bulldozers and bruisers in that running back position. But I think, you know, what we're looking at here, Steve Spagnuolo has always been, give me as many guys as I can possibly have on the defensive line that can rush the quarterback and get after the quarterback and play at a high level. He's got that now. The running back position, kind of the same way. You are going to rotate guys in. First down, Isaiah. Second down, Kareem. Third down, pass. You know, and that's the way the defensive line is right now. You're rotating guys in. And the more quality guys that you can rotate in, the better off you're going to be long term. It's all about preserving guys, staying healthy, and being the best possible team you can be when January gets here. And the deeper you go on your roster, the better that you are. There's a lot of teams out there that once you get past the starters, there's nobody worth a damn on their roster, right? There's nobody worth a damn on their roster. The 53rd man on this roster is worth a damn. And that's why the Chiefs are better than everybody else. Has nothing to do with the officials or Taylor Swift or any of that kind of stuff. It has to do with the fact that they know how to draft, they know how to develop, and they know how to turn over a roster. They constantly are looking to get better on this roster. And they've got guys that are on their two deep that could probably be starters and very good players for other teams, but they're a rotational guy here. And that's why this team is good.
As a head coach's husband, I can confirm you can definitely kick the volleyball. Today I learned.
If you would have said that to me, I would have said, you're full of it.
You're high. Great drop from back in the day. From the 913, don't usually get many opportunities to listen live where I can interact with the show. On Tuesday, Bob made the comment about Brett Veach signing Dusty to play left tackle. So it begs the question of which happens first, the Chiefs sign Dusty or Dusty gets a date with Kay Adams?
I would say Dusty probably gets a chance to play for the Chiefs.
Oh, darn it. Damn the devil.
I can maybe get you a one-day fun contract with
Come
the Chiefs.
Come on, man. You
ain't
some
getting no date with Kay Adams.
Not happening.
Come on. I'm better looking than Shams, right?
Your wallet isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, your wallet isn't.
I don't think she's into money. Awkward silence. Let the people know that in about 8 minutes, they have a chance to be thankful.
Yeah, that's right. Chiefs, we're thankful for coming up every day at 6:40 this week. We'll play a highlight of a Chief we are thankful for. You will know who that Chief is when you hear the soundbite. You will be caller number 6 to 913-586-7965. Whatever the number is. And if you're a caller number 6 and you know who that Chief is, you will qualify to win the $500 Hy-Vee gift card, which will be given away tomorrow here on the show. One of our 5 qualifiers will win that Hy-Vee gift card.
Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce must be listening to this show. And I know a lot of you roll your eyes and say, oh, you guys are so arrogant. Blow it out your ass, Bob. No, literally, listen.
Well, my voice is shot. I don't know if you can tell, so it's probably going to be...
I always have a raspy voice, man. Just go ahead. Just get some honey. Get some...
Little throat coat. You ever heard of throat coat?
Nope.
It's a type of tea. It's not...
Whiskey. Get some whiskey. Tea.
Yeah.
Don't bother with that shit.
You're right.
Oh, can't have that in there, honey. Mac. Got it. Yeah.
I dropped it.
Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know what to do.
How do you know so much about vocal soothing?
I read up on it. Big reader.
Big Wikipedia guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Throat coat. So, yeah, we're all in this together, guys.
That's right.
Everybody goes through this. And you know that Travis Kelce knows about, you know, vocal cords, because I'm sure Taylor's like, yeah, I pour a little whiskey and a little tea before and after a concert, or maybe after one. But
he could have just said, Travis, next time just say, I was listening to Bob and Dusty, man. Like, yeah. I was listening to them talk about losing their voice a week ago. Bob told Dusty hot tea, lemon and honey, a little whiskey in it if you want. And now Bob's doing that this week. So I just stole the idea. So it's okay.
Essentially, Bob is Jason Kelce and I am Travis Kelce. So that ups my ante to absolutely 1000% get a date with Kay Adams. But in all reality, Bob said when he went to the game against Denver, he'd never heard the stadium get as loud as it had. And I really hope there's no cuss words in this one.
I used to think like Hail Mary or like a touchdown, walk-off touchdown. I don't think there's anything more electric than blocking a kick to win a game. That the place just erupted.
The entire, I don't think I had been a part of the stadium where it went fucking
eight. Dude, I can yep. Got it.
Jiminy Christmas.
Come on, guys.
Sorry, that's on me. That one's on me.
Yeah, we'll clean that up. But either way, the loudest stadium moment in the world was on that Sunday with the block kick, as they described there. And I will say this. I think that when you think about those games, that game was great, and that's fun to have once per year. That's all I need. I need to see that game one time per year. That's it. Just one time per year. That's it. That's all I want. I'm glad it happened that way, but I think sometimes games like that, and we have this discussion in baseball where, like, if your team's on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak, you have that where it's like they need the 3-run home run or they need the big inning to kind of wake this team up. Do you think games like that for a football team can cause a team to actually wake up even more? Again, the Chiefs are 9-0.
Well, I don't know that the Chiefs have been sleeping, you know, but sometimes you get into that, like, it's, you know, here we go again, here we go, you know, that type of stuff. And it becomes, you know, mundane, like anybody does in their job. You get up on a Wednesday, you punch the clock, you do your thing. And sometimes you need something to kind of, you know, demotivate you. You get a big sale or you have a big deal that closes or whatever it may be. And you have that big moment of success that you've worked so hard for. Mm-hmm. And you see it like that, like we saw on Sunday, because Sunday was electric. And you know, I told you after the game, like, I almost started crying on Sunday, and that's a regular season game, but it was so emotional for me, and I'm one person in 76,000. I can't imagine how emotional it was for that team, because you're on the cusp of losing your first game. You're on the cusp of all week everybody telling you you're a fraud and you're not that good, and they're 8-1, but there's a lot of cracks and they're not going to be able to be that good, and come January somebody's going to beat them, and all that nonsense that they would have had a year all week. Mm-hmm. They go out there and they get a win like that. If that doesn't give you a little like oomph in your step, I don't know what is. Like, if I'm Buffalo and I watch that game and I saw that happen, I'm going, oh my God. Right before they play us, they get this big moment where it looks like they should have lost a football game and they won the football game. Now they believe that they can do anything. And it's a mind game more than it is anything. Now the Chiefs believe no matter really what the score is, Patrick Mahomes don't even have to have the football. If Leo Chenault's out there, that kick's being blocked.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where, like, I think the thing that, not necessarily that they've been sleeping, but it's the fact that, like, that sort of win and that sort of fashion can kind of make a team kind of be like, oh, all right, now what else can we do?
Right.
We've had our backs to the wall in the corner of a dark room with 1 second left, and we lit up the room with a block and got a win. We crushed Denver's dreams, right? We somewhat kind of gave Buffalo a little bit of a crushing blow with a win like this. We gave the league, you know, oh, they blocked field goals, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think the best thing about that is that you didn't need that win, right? You didn't necessarily need it, but you got it. And that's what
makes life easier,
right? Like, you don't need a flu shot every year. Some people just decide to get it, and maybe you have a better immune system for that winter. But, you know, here's this game where you didn't need to block a field goal for a win. You're better than Denver. I know Denver's on the come and they're getting better, but you didn't need to win the game like that, but you did. And you get it before you go into Buffalo, which is a team that is going to be a hostile environment. Uh-huh. It's going to be completely packed. It's not going to be too cold, so there's no excuse.
Right.
It's going to be like 56 degrees, honestly, in Orchard Park.
Is it really going to be that warm?
I think it's going to be like 54, 56. Boy, somewhere in that,
I mean, I hate to be the global warming guy, but Buffalo in November at 56 degrees, that's insanely hot.
Going to be 67 here on Saturday.
That's nice.
So I'm having a Friendsgiving. We're going outside and playing cornhole.
Oh, I like that.
Kind of excited about that. But I don't know. I just think that that's maybe an interesting thing to think about, how that game might have literally...
Then it's supposed to be cold next week.
That's right. Yeah. Get me back to the 38 and chilly days. But like, that's the thing about that game last week, is I think that now as we put that to bed and move on towards Buffalo... I think that's one of the worst things that could have happened to Buffalo, is the Chiefs get a win like that. Because, like, nothing would be more soothing for Buffalo than the Chiefs were to play Denver and won 42-10.
Right.
They'd have been like, well, whatever. Yeah. Division game, they waxed them.
Oh, but here people would have been excited because they put up 42, and there's the Chiefs and all. Yeah. You learn more by winning a game like they did, and that carries you in January. Because in January, you're going to have to win close games.
That's right.
When you blow teams out, you're not really seeing how good a football team you truly are. Can you win the close game? Can you find a way to win when it looks like you can? And with 1 second on the clock, it didn't look like they were going to win this game. They found a way to win it. And that's going to carry the Chiefs more than blowing somebody out 42-10. We saw those games in the past, right? They blew everybody out, and then they lose in the AFC Championship game or whatever the case may be, right?
That's right.
We've seen teams score and score and score and score that can't stop anybody. You get to January and you're in tight games and you don't know how to win close games. That's a kind of a feather in their cap of, now I know how to win a close game. Now I know how to win a tight game. And now I know how to win with a big time special teams play that forced the special teams coach of the Broncos to up and quit.
He's ill.
That's what they said.
He's ill and we're thankful. Bob, before he tells you what he can be thankful for when it comes to his friends at Hy-Vee, we'll talk about a little bit disrespect for a quarterback. No, it's not Mahomes. No, it's not Lamar Jackson, but it is somebody that you all know on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Be caller number six right now. If you know the chief that we are thankful for, we'll have one more qualifier today and one tomorrow at 6:40. And then one of our five qualifiers is going to win a $500 grand prize from our friends over at Hy-Vee. And you can get all of your Hy-Vee items right now. You buy a ham, you get a turkey free, only at Hy-Vee.
Mike Caliendo comes in as an extra blocker. This is third down and one. At the 2-yard line, a touchdown, walks it off, handoff. Right side, powering, he is. Give it to him, touchdown! Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by. And the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty, PG-13, moving forward, I promise. Bob's going to like cancel both of us. Eventually. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Had a couple of interesting debate topics last night. Before I get into those, there was a little bit of a, there's a little bit of a narrative of a disrespect towards Josh Allen, I feel.
There is?
I think so.
Okay.
I really do. Because I think a lot of people don't consider him the second best quarterback in the NFL, and I think that's ridiculous.
Who else is in that category?
Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Everyone gives Joe Burrow the credit because he beat Mahomes 5 years ago in the playoffs.
Right.
I know it's been shorter than that, but it feels like it's we're on the cusp of being 5 years.
What year was that? 22, right? Yeah. I'm trying to think just for my own sake.
3 years ago, if in football season.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be like 3 years in January.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, and it seems like an eternity, right? Like, and the only other guy to do it was Tom Brady.
That's right.
Right.
May or may not be broadcasting after this year.
Which, you know how many wins Burrow has against Mahomes, right? Three.
Uh-huh.
So does Josh Allen. Now, they don't matter because they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the most quarterback wins versus Josh Allen are only two. It's Mahomes and who else?
That beat Josh Allen in the playoffs?
No, that have beaten Josh Allen the most. Patrick Mahomes beaten Josh Allen four times. There's another quarterback who's done it the same amount of times.
Tua?
Tom Brady.
Oh, Brady.
Yeah. Which that kind of makes me think, boy, Josh Allen's been in Buffalo longer than we might think.
No doubt, right? Like he's Tom
Mahomes
Brady.
Drafted in 2017, Allen drafted in 2018,
right.
The young kid out of Wyoming, right?
That's 6 years now he's been in this league. Wow, he's going to get arbitration this year.
Wild. And I think he has, what, two playoff wins? Three.
Well.
Because he got to the AFC Championship game, so there's two automatically.
Right.
And then he won one last year.
Or did they have a bye that first time they made the AFC Championship game?
The Chiefs were the
game.
Number one seed,
but
right?
they still had the first two teams were getting byes back in those days. So.
I'm sure I could Google search
well,
that.
Well, either
but
way.
But either way, I think, and maybe this is where I have blinders on, because I love Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. I think he's awesome. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I don't think it's talent-wise. I don't think it's close, because whereas Lamar's a better runner, Allen's arm is far and away much better than Lamar's. And I know Lamar can hose it. Like, he's got a cannon on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, sure he does.
But, like, if you were to tell me, here's a $100 bill, you have to get it right in 10 throws, that this guy gets it more than the other guy, Josh Allen throws a deep ball better than Lamar Jackson, I'd put my money on
no,
that.
No, I would definitely do that. Yeah.
And Burrow,
I'd put my money on Tua over Lamar, though.
And whereas Josh Allen might not have the clutch gene that Joe Burrow has, Josh Allen's a more talented quarterback than Joe Burrow. And I know that we say talent loosely, but in reality, Josh Allen is, what, 6'5", 6'6", in a truck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was saying this to Mac earlier before the show started. Like, I will watch this game every time it is third and three or third and two, and my eyes will be completely focused on 17, because he can either stretch it out to the outside and get 2 yards. He'll go up the middle for 2 yards. He'll do whatever.
Did but you say 17 or 15? Because 15 does that same type of stuff.
Yeah, but and that's why people fear him.
Yeah.
Which, again, is into my conversation. Do we unanimously think, because I tweeted this out last night, starting a franchise tomorrow, can't use Mahomes.
starting a franchise tomorrow, would you rather have Josh Allen or Joe Burrow?
I'm taking Joe Burrow because of the postseason success. And then, and that to me right there is what matters. I mean, we have been conditioned now as sports fans, well, as football fans in particular, that we judge quarterbacks and head coaches based on the way you perform in the playoffs. Every time I hear somebody say something about Lamar, it's like, yeah, but he stinks in the playoffs, or this guy doesn't do well in the play. Aaron Judge is another type of guy. I got to have somebody that I know that I can count on that can nut it up in a big situation and make the big play and not have that fear. And Joe Burrow's the guy that has done that for me. And so that's why I'm taking Joe Burrow. I don't think anybody needs a championship in professional sports, maybe more so than Josh Allen does right now. I mean, obviously Aaron Judge needs that championship to kind of justify his career. But Josh Allen's starting to get up to that point now where can he win the big one? And we talk about that a lot with quarterbacks over the years, or even with head coaches over the years. I mean, Marty Schottenheimer was that guy as a head football coach. If you're starting a franchise, Marty's great in the regular season. I don't want to see him on the sidelines in the postseason. I need to know that my quarterback can go out there and win me a game in the playoffs when it matters most, and we just haven't seen that out of Josh Allen. Now, if he does that, it completely changes the narrative, but that's how we've been conditioned as sports fans in this country. Quarterbacks are judged based on what their team does in the postseason, and they've had a lot of early exits. And I just don't want to hear, well, they got to go through Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's got to go through Patrick Mahomes at this point in time. Life isn't fair, but you know what? Patrick Mahomes doesn't play defense, and this defense gets after Josh Allen. This defense gets after everybody out there. So until Josh Allen can prove it to me in January and February, I just can't put him in that category.
Josh Allen, playoff record, 5-5.
Yeah.
Five of those losses, or three of those losses to Mahomes.
Who are the other two? Cincinnati and
Cincinnati
Baltimore?
Is,
it has to be. Or
Cincinnati
somebody.
Is one of them, and the other one is Houston. When they beat them, because they almost, Houston almost lost, right? And then they came to Kansas City, and then they got the comeback against
Mahomes.
Oh, that
was that year? Okay.
Because right. Josh Allen was bad in that game. Joe Burrow is 5-2 in the playoffs.
That's pretty good.
He lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Now do Mahomes.
15-3. Yeah. But here's one that's kind of eye-opening for you. Lamar Jackson in the playoffs is 2-4.
Yeah. Yeah, not good.
He's lost to Houston and Tennessee in the playoffs.
Yeah.
His win last year was against a rookie quarterback. They lost to Buffalo in the divisional round in 2021. They lost to Tennessee in the divisional round in 2020. Then Tennessee would come to Kansas City and play that game.
Right.
And they lost to the Chargers in 2019.
Oh, I do kind of remember that game.
So
yeah, that's right.
It's weird that's why there's the disrespect to Josh Allen. But then people are like, well, Lamar's got the MVPs. Well,
but he doesn't have postseason wins.
He's 2-4 in the postseason.
Yeah, that's not good. Like, where do you start to draw the line between these guys are really good in the regular season, but to me, it's all about what happens in the postseason. Like, you're talking a lot about, in the same instance, I guess, like Dan Marino, right? How great a quarterback Dan Marino was, but they never did it when it mattered most. His best season in the playoffs was like his first season in the NFL. And so to me, the job of the quarterback is to lead your team to championships. I mean, again, that's how we judge. How many Super Bowls did he win? We're all chasing Tom Brady's 7 Super Bowls or Montana's 4 Super Bowls or what will be a three-peat, you know, by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. We're all chasing that in professional sports. So I just lean towards I need my guy at that quarterback position to win when it matters most. And Josh Allen still has yet to really do that.
So out of those three, Mac, get in on this. You cussing fool over there. out of those three, who wins the Super Bowl first?
Lamar, Burrow, and Josh Allen. I'm going to be a jackass and say none of them because they're not getting through Mahomes.
Because they're never going
to
win.
Yeah, who's going to be the backup to Mahomes in 5 years, right?
Here's maybe a better question. More Super Bowls in the next 10 years. Mahomes or those three combined?
Mahomes.
Ooh. In the next 10 years, I'll go Mahomes.
Because Lamar ain't going to make it 10 years the way he's going. Like, and that's just the way his game
years,
is.
But think of Josh Allen. How many years has he been playing now? This is his 6th year?
Yeah.
You're talking year 16 for him, year 14 for Burrow.
Spags on TV with Josh Allen. But I mean, that's the thing, too, is that, like, man, all three of these guys could be Dan Marino.
And let me ask you this.
Everybody says Josh Allen's a modern-day Dan Marino. These all three guys could be Dan Marino.
Yeah, but what if, again, the Bills lose to the Chiefs in the postseason this year? Does Sean McDermott come back for another season?
No, because eventually you have to beat him.
Right.
Like, that's where you're, and that's a great conversation you've created. That's where your resume starts.
Because
in the
AFC. Then it really starts to change with Josh. Like, if you fire, I'm going to throw a conspiracy theory out here, okay? And you can choose to buy it or not, but I kind of like this conspiracy theory. after the season, they lose again in the playoffs to the Chiefs. They fire Sean McDermott, okay? Find a new head coach, whoever the case that may be. They trade Josh Allen to the Giants for the number one overall pick.
Well, then your dad's going to scream in joy.
Right? And now, if that happens, and again, I'm just throwing that out there as a possible conspiracy theory. If that goes out, that changes the narrative, because now Josh Allen's in the NFC. And if I'm Josh Allen right about now, I'm going, can you please trade me to an NFC team so I don't have to get through Patrick Mahomes and beat by Patrick Mahomes every year in the postseason? Now, if he were to move to the NFC, I would say Josh Allen's got a real good chance of going to Super Bowls.
I think to wrap this conversation up, and I shouldn't have said 10 years, maybe 6 years. Let's say six years combined. Yeah. When you look at it, like, I think the disrespect that Josh Allen gets is the fact that one of his losses is a bizarro loss, which has nothing to do with him, which is the 13 seconds.
And he was brilliant in that game. Nobody can argue that.
And last year he was brilliant.
Yeah. And except at the end when he needed to be. And
well, Stephon Diggs missed a ball.
I know. That's, but he also threw one behind a receiver, too.
But I mean, you can nitpick that with Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
Man. But the throw that he threw to Stephon Diggs was the game winner. I hate to say it. If Stephon Diggs catches that ball last year, we are not talking about a three-peat. We're not talking about a back-to-back.
You're right. Yeah.
Buffalo walks out of Orchard Park, and they're like, we finally did it.
But those are the things that happen over the course of these games.
That's not on Josh Allen, though. That's but it goes to his,
like, you don't keep the ledger of, like, what Will Shields' record is in the postseason or what Dwayne Bowe's record would be, or Tyree Kill's.
Outliers that can affect that, right? I just think that there are, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know.
But Mahomes over, like, I have a hard time also giving a free pass when Patrick Mahomes overcame what he overcame last year and still won a Super Bowl with no weapons at all. Guys that he was screaming at the sidelines that couldn't understand how to line up on sides and whatnot. And they still found a way to win. So, like, I know we live in a world where Patrick Mahomes is sitting on top and we're kind of all on top of this mountaintop looking down at everybody right now. But every time somebody wants to say something about a quarterback and why they didn't win or this didn't happen, I go, Patrick Mahomes found a way to win. There's just something about having that ability to go out there and win.
I got a damn man crush on Josh Allen, I think. Actually, I don't think. I know I do.
Same.
I think he's probably my favorite athlete outside of my sports fandom.
Mine's Lamar.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I've got the man crush on Lamar Jackson. Always will.
You must like losers because he's 2-4 in the playoffs.
I love him. I love him as a person. I love him as a player.
Then you're going to love Thursday Night Football because his 2.0 clone is playing for Washington right now. Yeah. He's fun to watch as well. We ask you, because we have ours, other than left tackle, what are you worried about the most in this Bills and Chiefs matchup? 913-586-7965. Other than left tackle, what are you worried about in this Bills-Chiefs matchup? Fesco, Mac, and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.